In this week's market update, markets shrug off the US-China row and focus on COVID recovery hopes. Citi warns that markets are out of line with reality, and Brexit is back in focus. Stock markets are determined to see the glass as half full. Investors continue to look past a cocktail of negative headlines to focus their attention on positive indications that the COVID crisis is easing. Shares began the week on the front foot again, keeping the two-month-old stock market rally on the boil. The US, which is leading the charge, is now within shooting distance of its pre-crisis high. Overnight, shares in Asia rose, with Japan 1.5% higher and gains in China, Hong Kong and Australia, after Wall Street closed 0.4% up on Monday. This is despite an escalating row between the White House and Beijing over China's interference in Hong Kong, and a deepening crisis at home after another killing of an unarmed black man by a white policeman triggered days of protests in cities across the country. The president threatened on Monday evening to send in the military to restore order. Donald Trump had responded to China's imposition of a controversial new security law in Hong Kong with a threat to revoke special trade privileges for the former British colony. But markets breathed a sigh of relief that the rhetoric was not backed up with firm proposals. Trump was seen to have pulled his punches, and traders were relieved that phase one of the trade deal signed before the COVID pandemic swept everything else off the front pages looks safe for now. Hong Kong shares jumped by more than 3% on Monday, and Chinese shares were up almost as much. The positive tone in Asia spilled over into Europe and the US. Europe also benefited from the first evidence that the COVID pandemic is starting to ease. An index of manufacturing activity recovered to its highest level for 2 months as governments started to lift their lockdown restrictions. Italy saw the biggest rebound. There was similar good news on manufacturing in China, which saw the first expansion in activity there since January. With the S&P 500 now above 3,000 again, the US benchmark is within 10% of its February high, prompting those investors who aren't swept up in fear of missing out to warn that prices are out of line with economic reality. Investment bankers at Citi are urging their corporate clients to raise money while they can on the grounds that pricing can't get any better than it is currently. Companies have already tapped the markets this year, raising $1 trillion in corporate debt, as optimism for a V-shaped recovery has seen share prices bounce back in record time. The overall market level may be high, but it's sending out a distorted message thanks to the dominance of a small number of high-performing technology stocks. The Russell 3000 index, which tracks the US's biggest companies, is down 11% since the market peaked on the 19th of February. But most companies have fared much worse than that. A third of companies are down at least 30%, while half are down 20% or more. Only a third of companies have matched or bettered the index. That's because the average has been dragged higher by tech and healthcare stocks, which have fared best of all during the COVID crisis. Tech is the largest sector by capitalization in both the Russell 3000 and the benchmark S&P 500 indices. That helps explain why the US market has also done so much better than other markets with smaller technology weightings like the UK. The remarkable performance of a handful of tech stocks is starting to ring alarm bells among older investors who remember the way in which Wall Street was distorted by the same sector during the late 1990s technology bubble. Just 10 stocks worth more than $150 billion each have enjoyed annual share price growth of 20% for the past 5 years, and they now represent 27% of the US blue chip index between them. Companies like Microsoft, Apple and Amazon have been beneficiaries of the pandemic, building on their popularity with investors during the 10 years since the financial crisis, when their predictable growth has been appealing in an otherwise sluggish growth environment. The main focus for investors this week is likely to be the ECB's meeting on Thursday, at which the central bank will unveil forecasts for growth in the region this year. In April, it said the Eurozone economy could contract by between 5 and 12% this year. Economists at ING have penciled in an 8% contraction. That will shift attention to the ECB's €750 billion bond buying programme, which is expected to be extended further by another 250 or even €500 billion. Further stimulus is thought necessary, even if a mooted €500 billion COVID recovery fund proposed by Germany and France is given the green light. The second key data announcement this week will be Friday's non-farm payroll numbers for May, which are expected to see another 8 million job losses in America to add to the 20.5 million announced in April. Bad as that sounds, it's thought the slowing in the unemployment rate will be taken well by a market that's become used to the kind of data last seen in the Great Depression. The number of Americans collecting unemployment benefit actually fell by nearly 4 million last week as the highly flexible US jobs market succeeds in getting people back to work as quickly as it fires them at the first sign of trouble. In another sign of improving fortunes for the global economy, the price of iron ore, a key input for the steel industry, has risen above $100 a tonne for the first time since July last year. Considered by many to be the second most important commodity after oil, iron ore has risen by 18% over the past month on hopes for a big Chinese stimulus package, as well as less supply than expected out of Brazil. Oil is also in focus this week, as Saudi Arabia and Russia are reported to be discussing an extension of production curbs that were agreed in April but are due to taper off from July. News of the talks boosted the price of Brent crude to around $38 a barrel, well above its recent lows. And finally, Brexit is back on the agenda here in the UK as a fourth round of negotiations between Britain and the EU gets underway this week amid an impasse over issues including access to fishing waters. London Mayor Sadiq Khan has written to Michael Gove, the Cabinet Office Minister, calling for an extension to the transition period, which is due to expire at the end of the year. Unless a trade deal is signed by then, the UK will begin a new relationship with its nearest neighbours on unfavourable World Trade Organization terms. Mr. Khan said red tape, tariffs and immigration controls were the last thing Britain needs as it battles to emerge from the coronavirus crisis. The government maintains its position that it will leave with no deal at year end if it has to. Any decision to request an extension of the transition must be made by the end of June, under the terms of Britain's exit from the EU, which officially happened at the end of January.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.